And that's why there's a lot of joy that's working, because when we didn't know how to be so faithful to God, God certainly knew how to be faithful to His Word and to His people and to a covenant that He started long, long time ago when He gave Father Abraham a promise that I will bring you into this place again, a place of promise, a place of rest, a place that is going to be called Canaan, which is the promised land. And we're learning that that promised land is greater than just going into some land far away. But we're learning that God is creating that promise within us, a place of peace and place of joy and a place of where we can go back and commune with the Lord. And so it's very, very good seeing what God's been doing for us. But in the thought of it being an Easter celebration here, we are definitely going to be talking about resurrection. We're going to be talking about resurrection. But as every preacher might do in his own way, they're going to probably present resurrection in the thought from maybe different thoughts, different perceptions. But I want to present to you today the thought of being resurrected in Christ because of the believer. The believer. How many times in this church have we preached about the believer in you being raised up? Many, many times. But we want to talk about it again this morning. We want to provoke and we want to talk and speak to the Word of God in you that believes. Okay? Let's use a scripture to get that going here. And it's going to be found. I want to turn over to Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. Romans 10 and verse 9. Someone just let me know when it's up there, please. Okay. It says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Leave that up there for right now. If you believe in your heart that the Lord, and you confess with your mouth, confessing with the mouth, we could say, well, I'm just confessing with my mouth. I confess Jesus all the time. Is your heart confessing that He is the resurrection and the life? Are you believing from the heart that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? Because it's easy to confess with the mouth. But what God wants to get a hold of and what God wants to do, He wants to make it so real in our heart that everywhere we go, we believe and we know in our heart that when our confession comes forth, that Jesus is alive. Jesus did resurrect. If Jesus is still just a far thought and just a belief in your mind, just a belief, then maybe in your consciousness, there is no resurrected Christ. It's a good story and you're happy about it, but God's bringing us people, His people, to a place where we know and believe for sure, without a shadow of a doubt, that I am so touched and I am so moved by the resurrected life of Jesus that it has changed me. It's put me on a new path. It's put me on a new way. It's changed my thoughts. It's changed my heart. It's affected me. I'm affected by the life and resurrection of Jesus. I'm affected by it. It's changed me. And that is what the Lord, you know, you look at the life of Jesus and His ministry was so powerful. His life made such a mark upon history. Think about it. Such a mark that thousands of years since this thing began, and we're still here preaching with conviction the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus, because it's real to us in 2026. It is just as real to us now as it was when Christ did it. Is that where we're at in our believing? Is that where we are at in our consciousness? That we believe this thing so much and we're affected every time we hear the Word of God? It changes us. It affects us. It affects my mind. I heard something in the Word that I didn't know, I didn't even know was true, and wow, that Word changed my mind about something. And also what it does too, when you hear the word of God, there's such life in that word that it begins to stir your heart. It begins to create something new in you. It begins to, there's a creation that begins to take place. And you know that as well as I do, that if you're sitting here today and you've been with us for any time at all, or if you're here for even the first time, it's not by chance that you're here. The Spirit of God knows how to move upon the hearts, whether you know it or you don't know it. And you may even think that, well, I came to God because I just came to God. That cannot be possible. You can't come to the Lord except He draw you. You can't give your life to the Lord except He draw you by His Spirit. You can't come to the Lord. It takes a moving of the Spirit of God to get a hold of the heart and begin to start talking to it and begin to start telling it, begin to, even if it's a small, still voice within you, even a small thing, a thought of God come into your heart and begin to talk to you. Hey, I'm real. I'm here. I want to talk to you. I want to bring you into this place. And think about that moment. Go back in your mind. Go back and think about that moment, that time when the Spirit of God began to prick your heart. It began to tug at it. It began to talk to it. Can you guys remember that? Can you remember a time when that happened? And I do. I can remember. It was like finding the love of my life. I'll say it that way. I also found the love of my life when I found Michelle, too. I did. She had me all starry-eyed when I found her. Maybe she found me. I don't know. But anyhow, this is a real love. You hear about God and something just begins to grow in your heart. Like, why and how do you give your time to someone that you haven't seen, you can't even prove He exists, a spiritual, unseen, invisible God? How do you even know He exists? You can't prove it. Oh, I don't know if I can prove it by bringing Him down and showing Him to you, but I can know in my heart that He is real, that He does exist, that He's real in my heart. He's real in my thoughts. He's real because He affects and changes my life and my being. Who can do that for you? Who can take you when you are in a way of destruction and forgetting of your purpose in this life and who you are, and you don't know anything? You're just living your life and you're just thinking about getting up and going from day to day, working a job, got to go to the store, get groceries, do this, and it's like Groundhog Day. Repeat. Repeat, 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 over and over and over and over. You just repeat. Hope you know that movie for that reference. He wakes up every day and the whole day is the same day, and he tries to get out and escape that day because he's stuck in it. The only way to escape that day, the monotonous, without purpose in your life, is when the Lord comes by and begins to tap on your heart and begins to draw you and say, child, you're mine. Son, daughter, you're mine. You belong to me. I know you don't know this right now. I know you don't believe this, but you belong to me. I am the one that's calling you back. And it's going to be a process. It's going to be a period of time before I can bring you into the remembrance of our relationship that we had from the beginning. Because you are a spirit. If you have thoughts and consciousness, how do you prove that that's spirit? It's invisible. It's not seen. It works within you. And then we get to move in this body and manifest how we think and how we perceive. But God wants to change that. He wants to give us a manifestation that's holy and righteous and true and change everything in this life, because He's going to come and dwell in us and change everything that's working within us. That's the God we serve. That's the God that's called us. And you know, you look at, I know across Christianity, they're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus, and that's awesome. But here's what we have to ask about that question. We can celebrate and look at one 2,000 years ago that raised from the dead, but can we look at ourselves and say, well, not only did he raise from the dead, but it became his entire mission to raise you from the dead. It became his entire purpose that worked within him, his sin, to raise you from the dead. And how would he do that? He knew that he would have to do it first. He knew that we were a people and a creation in separation from him that needed to find that place that God dwelt with his son and would speak to him. There was a message that was preached, I don't know how long ago it was, but it was. I was remembering this weekend, and it was a really awesome thing to remember. But remember the preaching that came forth about God creating a place for Adam in the earth to have a meeting place? And that was called what? The garden? The Garden of Eden? So in that place, God could meet with his son and begin to teach him and talk to him and instruct him and tell him everything that he would be. And it was a place where he could learn and a place where he could grow. But as we know in the story, there was something that crept in, and a lie took and removed Adam and Eve from that place of fellowship and communion, and they had to go out. And they had to be separated from the presence of God. And they went out, and then God didn't even leave them in that place when he sent them out. But he would send prophets to them and speak the word of the Lord to them to remind them, you're coming back to this place. You're coming back to this place. You're going to go through some things. You're going to experience death, but you're coming back to this place. I'm going to resurrect you. I'm going to raise you up. I know you are dead in a place in your consciousness where you're separated and you're dead and you're without life, but I'm going to raise you up. I am going to raise you up. Do you believe that? Do you believe that word? Do you believe that word so much that you will continue to follow Jesus Christ everywhere he leads us to go? Everywhere he leads us to go. Even if it has to go through a wilderness. Lord, I'll go through that wilderness. I'll go through any place that you need me to go through as long as you are there. As long as I know that I'm following you, Christ, I will go wherever you need me to go. Even the writer in Psalms said, if I wake up in hell, you're with me. You have not left me. You have not forsaken me. You are the resurrection and you are the life. Everywhere I go, you are there with me. And so what a hope and what a promise and what a great, great thing that we have in the Lord. And, you know, look at the example of that excitement. Do you guys remember that excitement? Can you remember? I know there's excitement now. I'm not taking away from that. But remember when you first gave your heart to the Lord? You remember when you said, Lord, I'll follow you. I love you. And then you were so excited to get baptized, and you were so excited about the word of the Lord that you'd go off, you'd knock on doors, you'd preach to your friends, you'd preach to your family, you'd preach to everyone. Maybe I'm talking about me. Maybe that happened for you too. But there was an excitement that took place. There was a great joy. That's why when the word of the Lord began to come up in my heart, it just like, this is it. There's no other place for me to go. I'm following Jesus. I didn't know anything about the Lord at all. At all. But all I know is that there was a believing that worked in me. There was a believing that was working in my heart. Anytime I heard the word of God, I was like, wow, that's powerful. That's talking about God. It was introducing me to God. And I didn't know God, but I had to get introduced to him. And so, you know, I remember going through a period of time, and before you know it, it's like, as the years go on, you might look around and say, well, where is that spark? Where is that enthusiasm? Where is the love that I once felt? And you're trying to judge your experience with God based upon your feelings and your emotions and how things are going and how you feel for the day and so forth. But when you look at it, it was the same story that took place for the children of Israel. How many of you guys remember what took place there in the 15th chapter of Exodus? Who knows? Exodus 15. Whoever knows what happened, keep your hand down. How about that? Okay, we'll tell you. Before we tell you what that is, Destiny, go to Exodus 14 and the last verse of 14, okay? I don't have it pulled up, so I'll just read it. Israel saw the great power that the Lord used against the Egyptians. We remember that the Lord delivered Israel, right, from the great captivity 400 years to Pharaoh. So the people feared the Lord, and they believed in the Lord and in his servant Moses. So the Lord does all these great works in Egypt to show his strength and his power and his might in a place of captivity, and said, I'm delivering you out of this place. I'm bringing you out. You're coming out. And the people, it said, they believed God. They believed God. And then go to verse 1 in the next chapter. Then Moses and the people of Israel, they sang this song of the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed glorious, the horse and his rider. He is overthrown into the sea. There it is, into the sea. And we don't have to go into the next verse, but almost through the entire chapter of 15, the people of God rejoiced for what God had done for them. They rejoiced for what God had done for them, and they sang, and they gave honor to God, and they gloried in God, because when God came, he didn't just come in a word only. He came in power and in demonstration to prove to his people without a shadow of a doubt that I am God and I am your deliverer and I have raised up a man and I've sent him into this place so that I can bring you out of this place to serve God. And did you know they were so happy, they were so excited, they were so thankful for what God had done. And it wasn't even through the very finishing of that chapter that it says they went 3 days without water, and they begin to get a little concerned. They begin to get a little uneasy and worried if God would be able to provide for them. And did you know that it says in that same chapter that is where he first began to prove the people of God? He first began to prove them in that wilderness. And has that not been what we have been hearing in the word of the Lord? Is that we have gone through a place of trying, a place of wilderness, a place where God wanted to try us to see what was in our heart, to see if we would continue to believe him, to see if we could follow him and believe in his word without an emotion, without needing to rely upon a feeling. But we'd believe God because he gave them in that place. They gave him his word. He gave them his word. He gave Moses the commandments in the mountain and said, teach all this law to my people and give it to them and set covenants and ordinances and statutes so that they will know how to serve me and so that they will know how to believe in me. So, well, you would say, but where's all the, I want to see the fire of God come down again. I want to see all the works. I want to see, every day I want to see this. How about you remember what God did for you? How about you tell it to your children and your children tell it to their children? And I'll be with you in this place, but you're not going to see this work every single day. You need to recall and remember what I did for you. You need to be in a place where you might be a little hungry and you might be a little thirsty and you might need to be a little tried. And that word in you has got to be tried. It's got to go through it. But it's not like when I first came to the Lord. That's all right. Hang in there. Because the message is believe in God, for he is the resurrection and he is the life. A place in the wilderness became their place where they sinned exceedingly. And Jesus comes along and he preaches this. He says, except you believe that I am he, you'll die in your sin. You'll die in the wilderness. You'll die in the wilderness. You've got to believe that I am he. You have to believe that Jesus said, you've got to believe that I am sent from my Father. My Father sent me. I am in him and he is in me. And Jesus even made this statement. He said, if you don't even believe that I am from the Father and he sent me, at least you got to believe me for the work's sake. You got to look at the works I'm doing, the miracles. And did Jesus do miracles or did he do some miracles? They had never seen this type of work before. They had to acknowledge that, hey, I don't know what's going on. I thought he was the son of Joseph, but you can't deny the miracles he's doing. What do we do with this fella? He's stirring the whole place up. He's preaching like a man on fire. He is bringing the word of God, and it's going against everything we ever heard. He's preaching the word of God sent from heaven, and he preached that you must believe that I am he. How do we come through this place of trying in a wilderness, and how do we come through this death? You must believe that he is the resurrection and he is the life. He is that resurrection. He is that life. Have you ever been in a place where you thought, I am so dead, I don't know if I can live? I was waiting for that, Dave. We got someone here in our church that is a walking testimony that will tell you if you ask him, are you alive? Were you once dead? Who raised you up, Dave?
Jesus.
He did. I love it, man. That's a testimony. That's true. When I hear that, bro, I love it because I believe that God did do that for you. And you know what it gives us hope in? If we continue to believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, he will also quicken us and he will raise us from the dead as well. He'll bring us into a mind and a place that even if we're going through a place that we call a wilderness or we feel like we might be separated from God, he'll put in us a new mind and a new spirit, and we'll go through that place like a Joshua and Caleb. How about that? Does that sound good? We'll go through that wilderness as a believer. We'll enter it in every situation. We'll enter in as a believer because, like we said, we can believe that God raised Jesus. How many can believe that God raised Jesus from the dead? Let me see your hands. You believe that Jesus raised Christ from the dead? How many believe that he's here to raise you from the dead? That's it, right there. If you believe that, that means you can walk in newness of life. That means the word of the Lord can raise you up and quicken you in your spirit and put you in newness of life and make you alive in Christ. That is the hope. And I'm seeing it. I'm seeing Christ raise up people in this place, and you can hear by their word. Can't you, Brad? Amen. God is so faithful to his word. And you know, we have even great witnesses that the Lord has come by and begin to give us witness in the spirit. That, remember what Gary's been preaching on? And he's preached on the valley of dry bones in the wilderness, a place where those bones, that man, the body, you feel dead, you're dead. What did Christ promise that he would do? He's going to bring some resurrection and he's going to bring some life. He is a God of the living. He is not the God of the dead. He is alive forevermore. He is alive. And he has to raise us up to put us back into a place like where the place where Adam left. I don't know where it's at, but I think it's in Revelation chapter 21 where it says, behold, the tabernacle of God is with man. Think about that place, that tabernacle, that holy place, the abiding place is no longer a place where you have to go to and try to access to get back in. You just carry it with you, huh, Dan? You carry that truth, the word of God, your meeting place with you everywhere you go. Everywhere you go. And that is such a hope. That is such a great thing. And if you believe that Christ is the resurrection and you believe that he is the life, you will continue in the word and the word of God will set you free. It will make you free. It will make you free. It will set you free. It will whatever. It will just make you different. If you're in bondage, it'll make you free. If you're in fear, it will bring peace. If you're in confusion, it will bring a sound mind. If you're in no hope and despair, through the trials of even going through this life, I promise you, you got to give God a chance, because He'll change everything in your world. He'll change everything in your mind. And when He does that, you'll break like a little baby. And you'll bow that knee, huh, Gary? And say, God, I don't want this life anymore that I once lived. I'm submitting to You. I'm submitting to You. I'm going to humble myself before You, and I'm going to learn how to let You abide in my heart. It's a process, but you have faith and you believe in God. Because even if there is, and I know I am amongst members here that believers are working. We're in a congregation where believers are working. But do you believe that there could be even growth to that believer in you? A greater measure added to that believer in you? Where you could say, you know, you ever hear the sayings like in the Bible where Jesus said, if you have just the faith as a grain of mustard seed, you'll say to that mountain, be thou removed, and it'll be done. And you know what? I remember when I was young, I was like, I don't know how that happens, but I believe it. I believe it. I don't know anything about that, but I believe it. Having that faith just as like a child where they just believe. And you don't even necessarily know exactly how it all works. But all you know is when you heard the word of God, you begin to confess with your mouth. You begin to believe with your heart. And you begin to follow because you believe God. Something in that draw of God begin to convince you He's alive. He's real. He's all powerful. And there's nothing that He can't do. And I'm telling you that He's the same now. There's nothing that God can't do. There's nothing the Lord does not want to do in your life. He wants to raise up His body. And He wants to bring us into that resurrection and that life so that we walk with Him and we meet with Him and He communes with us. We commune with Him, and there is such joy in that there. It's so awesome. Maybe we'll look at one more thing here, okay? We won't keep you long. This is a scripture we're going to look at here. Go to John, St. John, chapter 20. Chapter 20, verse 30. Is it up? It said, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which were not written in this book. But these are written. These things that we read, they are written. That you might what? Believe. That you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through Him. What's He want you to have? Life and life eternal. He's come to give you life eternal. He's come to raise you up so that He can give you life eternal. When what is life eternal? That you believe on Him. They asked Him one time, they said, Lord, we desire that we could do the works of God. He said, fine, you want to do the works of God? Believe on the Son of God. What? That's your answer? But we want to do these works that you're doing. You want to do these works? You got to believe. You could do these works. I'll give them to you. I'll give you power. But you must first believe. You got to grow up here. That grower, the believer inside of you has got to grow. And as that believer begins to grow up in you, in the consciousness and in the mind, that believer begins to overcome things. Begins to overcome wicked thoughts, becomes where he starts discerning imaginations that are not from God and begins to cast them down and starts getting power over other thoughts that come and oppose himself against truth. How about that? Imagine that. You go along, it's like, I want to believe in God. I want to believe in His Son. I want to believe in resurrection. But there are too many thoughts that are within me that said, it can't be true. I don't know how this could all be. And maybe you even thought that I'm too far away from God. I can't be saved. All things are possible with God. There's not a single soul out there that God, unless you're just so stubborn and you say, I want to remain in my ways and in my sin, I don't want to hear about God, well, then stay there for a while. but you got a heart that wants to, God's come along and he's starting to tap on your heart and knock on your door, you want to believe that and you want to follow that and you want to give yourself to it because God wants to raise you up. Do you believe this? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, let's stand. Let's stand this morning. Pastor Dan, you have anything? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Tim. Everybody doing good? Yeah, me too. Thank you, Tim. Appreciate that word. Good to see everybody. I just want to take a minute and say, you know, this is good. Did we read that verse? Can we read that verse one more time real quick before we go out of here? The one that Tim just had up. Go back to verse 30. Many other signs did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. So there's a lot of things we don't get to read about that Jesus did, right? But notice the next verse again, Tim. Boy, that was good. But these, the ones that are written, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Kind of makes you look at the Bible a little bit differently. Why do we have the scriptures, Tim?
So we can believe.
It helps us believe. It tells us what Jesus actually did. And have you ever thought about Jesus and thought, like, that sounds like way out there. Like, that's some heavy-duty stuff he did. Well, what if you never had a record of it? God gave us a record so that we could see God's love toward us and teach us these things. I'm going to believe it. I'm with you, Tim. I'm going to believe it. I'm going to use that scripture that God gave us and say, man, he gave me this so that teach me how God thinks and how he loves us and what he can do for me and how he can change my life. That sounds pretty good. I like that, Tim. And I just want to say, just good to see everybody here today. God is his love for us is so great. And the Lord, definitely, if you're here today, like Tim said, we're going to call it not by chance. We know that there's family involved and things like that, but here's the cool part. If you've got God's word in your heart and you've heard this word today in any sense, I want to tell you, God has access to you now. He's got access to you now because if his word is in your heart, he's got access to you. That means he can talk to you. So anybody, if you hear the stirring of God in your heart this week, don't be surprised. Because God just might have access to you now. You didn't know you belonged to him already? Everybody believe that? You belong to him already. That's why you're here. But I just wanted to say, appreciate seeing all of you guys today. And I guess we got some good things planned for the kids, huh?